I take time for my spiritual life. I take time for my spiritual life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, and a dozen other places here in Campo, California. I take time for my spiritual life. The Absolute Philosopher speaking. A lot of us say we take time for our spiritual life. And we take time, and we're walking our meditation path, and we say, I like me, I like me, I like me. And we're sitting at the computer, and our wrists are getting tired, so we stop for a moment, and we exercise them and say, I like me, I like me, I like me. And we are doing anything else, driving the car, yes, we're driving the car, and we say, I surround myself with my pure white light of love, all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness. Ellen asked one time, why do you surround yourself with your own pure white light of love? It's just a reaffirmation of what you're doing. Reaffirmation that you're surrounding yourself with your pure white light of love. It is there. It is doing its thing. But how does that figure into this here? I take time for my spiritual life. What is our spiritual life? Well, our spiritual life is just one thing. And it's called, with a capital M, E. Our spiritual life is called me. There is no other life for any of us except me. Whoever we are, me is who we are. Now, who is that me? That's that personal pronoun. That's that personal self. That's that personal being. That personal self that has no other comparison. There's, when you say me, you're not talking about any other person in the world. When you say me, you're not looking at any other expectation in the world. When you say me, you think it belongs, it goes directly to you only. Only to you. Now remember that. Now, think of that as a very classical tool on your spiritual path. Me. You say, well, that is not really too good. That's ego and that's all that is. Hey, forget all that nonsense. Me is all that it is. You, me. When I'm talking about me, I am not talking about anybody else. When I'm talking about me, I'm thinking of my thoughts. When I'm talking about me, I'm living my life. When I'm talking about me, my background, my foreground, my present, my current now, I'm thinking of me. I'm thinking of now, me. There is nobody else. Okay. So, let's get that straight right away. Because when we are taking time for our spiritual life, when we're taking time for our spiritual life, what we're doing is we're directing our attention to the center of our spiritual life. Now, you say, I think that God would be the center of our spiritual life. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God is the center of our spiritual life. And remember that. God is the center of our spiritual life. And what does that mean when God is the center of our spiritual life? What does that mean when God is the center of our spiritual life? What that means is that God is me, and me is God, and that's the center of my spiritual life. Whatever I think about me, I think about God. Whatever I think good about me, I think about God. Whatever I think bad about me, I think about God. Whatever I think peaceful about me, I think about God. It's very important for us to really be on top of these things. Because if we're not on top of these things, we're in trouble. If we're not on top of these things, then we're not doing it correctly. And we want to do it correctly. And you see, that's what it's all about, to do it correctly. And when we do it correctly, then we are living our life in a beautiful, fantastic, glorious way. And that's what it's all about. Now, many people get upset with this me too, me thing, you know. They think that is excluding everybody else. It's not. Me includes everything in your creation. Me includes everything in your life. Me includes everything that you're thinking, everything that you're doing, everything that you are. Me is the allness of what you are. Now, are you ready to be me? Are you ready to be that self of yourself that is doing these things? Are you ready for that sort of a life? Are you ready to live in that consciousness? If you're ready to live in that consciousness, then start living in it with the me. And stop saying, they did it to me. They're doing it to me. The world is a terrible place. There's wars and hatred and anger and... Hey, is there war, hatred, and anger in you? In me? In your life? No way. No way. You don't even know war. How many wars have you been in where you have shot people? Yeah? None. How many wars have there been in, that you have been in where the big bangs went off and you were very frightened? Ellen says when she was living in Germany at the beginning of the Second World War or during it, her uncle used to walk outside to look at the bombs falling and to look at the planes going overhead. And she, and her family says, you're silly, come back in here. You know? But he had nothing to fear. He was an innocent child. He was guileless. He was without fault, without anything. He was just looking up there and saying, hey, isn't that interesting? They're pretty. Like me when I was flying over the South Pacific. I looked down and see the shrapnel coming up and the bursts of the bombs below us. And the pilots knew they flew just above whatever the level of the bombs were that were coming up and the rockets. And so it's pretty. It's beautiful looking at these starbursts from up on top. It, when I flew over Disneyland in the middle of the night at after 9 o'clock, they were having their fireworks display. Mark and I were coming back from various places at different times, and we flew over Disneyland. And it was glorious. Here we were under these rockets, under, really above them. Under, we might be in trouble. But we were over these rockets, and we were watching them burst out into starbursts and burst out into the colors and burst out into all these things. It was glorious. But you see, we were untouched. As every 18-year-old and under and over is untouched. Recognize that you are that me. You are the me that goes through these experiences untouched. You're not looking at them as evil. You're looking at them as beautiful. Like I told you so often, the kamikazes bombed our deck of our aircraft carrier and started on fire and burned part of it. And we had to go back to Pearl Harbor for 6 weeks' liberty. Isn't that terrible? 6 weeks of nothing to do, to stay off the ship and stay out of the way of the workmen who were putting the deck back on as quickly as they could so we could get back out there and do our duty. Now, wow, you know, what was the me thinking? The me was thinking, isn't this a wonderful life? Isn't this a wonderful world? I am creating myself, having a great and glorious time. Yes, and all the many other stories that I've told you and many more that I will tell you. But the thing is, they're glorious. It's the me at work. It's the me at work. I was in the North Woods, and I was on my 21st birthday, I think it was, and nobody was there, just me. I went up to my parents' cabin up there, and it was spring, but there was still ice on the lake, and there was still a little snow around, and so forth. And it was glorious, and the cabin was just a big room, and it had a big metal box in the middle of it that you put fire in. And so I built a fire there, and I put a kettle on top of it to make hot water. I didn't need a bath. I didn't need hot water, but it was fun. It's just part of the game. And so I went outside naked in the wonderful sun of the beautiful weather, even though it was still snow, but it was nice. And I laid down the snow and made a couple of snowmen, angels, snow angels, and I walked up way up onto the side of the hills where the beaver had built a dam to keep the water from coming down to our lake. And I was throwing the dam apart. I was out there naked, just in the beautiful weather, not feeling one little bit of coldness. I was in the meanness. I was being myself and just having fun. And then I came back. I did have shoes on. I came back. And when I got back to the house, the water was hot on the stove. And so I had a real nice cooking bath, you know, put in a couple of hot buckets and a couple of cool buckets of snow. I went outside and scooped up the snow and put it in there, and it was just wonderful. And I sat in that tub, and I had never had a bath in my life as exciting as that one and as fun as that one, all by myself, not showing off to anybody, not showing them what a fantastic body I had at 21 years old and what a fantastic skinny guy I was, you know, not showing anybody, but just having a ball. Being myself and having fun. And you see, that's being myself. Do I remember that right now as though it's happened right now? And it did happen right now in my mind. Now, what adventures do you have that happen right now in your mind that are the me of you? They're the me of you. They're the joy of you. They're the delight of you. You know? Mm-hmm. They're the delight of you. Right now, I'm sitting here at this beautiful dining room table. We have just finished a lovely dinner of chicken and cabbage and potatoes and other good stuff, Jello. And Rex and Love and Button, our three dogs, are around us here more or less. And Rex is just laying here next to me, stretched out, a full 6.5 feet long. He's a big boy, you know. And he is just as happy as can be. And he just knows that whenever he's with me, that he's happy. Because me is his creator. Me is his feeder. Me is his trainer. Me is his all. And he does everything I ask him to do. And when he doesn't do something I ask him to do, I have the thought in my mind that he's not doing it and he doesn't do it. So it's up to me to take time for my spiritual life. I take time to recognize that me is my spiritual life. I am my spiritual life. There is nothing else but that. Be ye perfect, even as is your Father, which art in heaven, which is within us. We're supposed to be perfect like that. And that's a nice thing to be, isn't it? That's a nice thing to live and express for us. It's the way we want to be. How do I take time for my spiritual life? I sit down quietly and listen within. I walk the meditation path. And I say, I am surrounded by my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness. I walk the spiritual path. Spiritual path, hey, that's neat. That's a good word for that. The meditation path here at campus. And I feel so wonderful. I feel so wonderful. And first I let Rex run. And when we get to the meditation bench, then I put the leash on him. And with the leash on him, I let him run out ahead, and I say, Rex, sit, come. And then he stops, and he comes, and he sits, and I give him a big hug, and he goes out, comes, and sits, give him a big hug, goes out, comes, and sits, and I give him a cookie. And then he doesn't know when the cookie's coming. And then he goes out. Again, he's running around, you know, not far, but not pulling on the line even, but just gently walking around. And then I say, Rex, come. And he instantly comes as long as that line is on him. And when the line isn't on him, he hasn't quite got the message that he's supposed to come then too. But we're working on that, and he will, because he's a smart dog. And he knew I was a little unhappy with him today, and he knew that he had run off and gone up to the house when he shouldn't have done that. He should have stayed in his own yard, even though there was no fence around the yard. But that's a lot of asking for a puppy who's under 1 year, you know. And he's big, and you think, my gosh, he's big, he should know everything. But he knows, and he knows that I was unhappy with him. And so he tried to make it up to me. He tried to make it up to me when I went over and got on the chai machine, and he laid next to me, and he put his paw on me, and he says, I love you, you know. And when I went in the jacuzzi, he stuck his nose in next to me. He says, you know, you're a good dad. You're a good dad. I love you. And that's beautiful. But the thing is, this is what it's all about. I know the filter wasn't in there, but I used it anyhow. So, you see, this is what life is all about. I take time for my spiritual life by calling everything my spiritual life. And calling everything, Ingeborg, what?
Me.
Me. That's a good thing. Calling everything me. That's beautiful. And calling everything that's me good, right? And so when I do that, then I take time for my spiritual life. Because in my spiritual life, there's only good. And there's only me. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.